Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we will be in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Now, we're nearing the end of 1 Chronicles. So far, we've been in it for 27 chapters, and 10 of those were genealogies. Now, some consider Leviticus the hardest book to get through, but that's only because they've never read 1 Chronicles. When Chris Langham and I sat down to go over what books I was to take for Through the Word, it was easy to see that most of the quote-unquote fun ones were gone. But this is what Peyton Jones was made for. One of my hobbies in reading Scripture is to constantly be asking, why did God put this in Scripture? Did you know the other day, I was talking to an atheist, telling him all about the book of 1 Chronicles and how much I loved it. I started telling him about the genealogies and the organizational structure and how it had a central theme about looking for the king, the Messiah. Now, you might think, whoa, hang on there, pal, don't let him read this book. But why not? It's Scripture. It's God-breathed. It's got the Spirit of life in it. And besides that, we'll be reading it and discussing it together, he and I. You see, God's Word always plants a seed and accomplishes whatever purpose he sent it out for. That's why I'm super glad that you've come with me on this journey through the Word. It's a first for me, and I'm guessing it's a first for you. Not a first for me reading it, but a first for me teaching it. So if it's a first for you reading it and a first for me teaching it, then it's been quite a journey. When I'm recording these, I'm always thinking of you on the other side, laughing at my jokes, sharing my mind-blown moments, falling in love with Jesus, the Messiah, our perfect King. And I'm excited for you to read this chapter today. It's the chapter that David sets up the building of the temple by presenting to everyone his plans. In verse 2, after gathering all of Israel's leaders, David makes an announcement. Verse 2, King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my fellow Israelites, my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood. Yet the Lord God of Israel chose me from my whole family to be king over Israel forever. He chose Judah as leader, and from the tribe of Judah he chose my family, and from my father's sons he was pleased to make me king over all Israel. Of all my sons, and the Lord has given me many, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of his kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, 'Solomon, your son is the one who will build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he is unswerving in carrying out my commands and laws, as is being done at this time. So now I charge you in the sight of all Israel and of the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of the Lord our God, be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. All this, David says, I have in writing as a result of the Lord's hand on me, and he enabled me to understand all the details of the plan.'" So David tells Solomon all the things he knows, the levels, the blueprints, the rooms, the articles to be built and smelted from gold, silver, and bronze. You see, David is passing on a vision and a burden, but he knows that it's not his destiny to build the temple. Now I want to ask you, what's your destiny? What are you going to do in life? Is it something you think God is asking you to do? Is it something you feel God gave you a vision for through somebody else? And if so, how did you receive it? When I was in high school, I got sent to the principal's office for bogus reasons. I had a teacher who hated the fact that I was a Christian, and one day, because I had finished all my typing work, I pulled out my Bible and began to read quietly. In the class were other kids goofing off and messing around quite loudly, but it was me who got singled out and sent to the principal. "What are you doing?" the teacher bellowed. reading my Bible, I said. You're not allowed to do that in class. That's typing. You will type. I looked over at the kids who were screwing around. I had finished my work. I was pretty sure they hadn't. But now those kids were focused on me. As I looked over, and the teacher understood my look, she yelled, "Collect your things and go to the principal." I literally got sent to the principal for reading my Bible. I'm sure that was a first. But when I got there, the principal rolled his eyes after hearing my story and said, "I'm not going to bust you for that, Peyton. Let me ask you some questions about reading your Bible. You don't do drugs, sleep around, or get drunk, or vandalize things because you read your Bible?" "That's right," I said. The principal said, "Peyton, go ahead and go back to class, but try to get more other people to read their Bibles too." And I've been doing that for the past 30 years. What about you? You were made for more than working at Target. And don't get me wrong, working at Target is awesome, but you were made for more as you work at Target. You may be an architect, but you were made for more. You were made for more while you're an architect or a Del Taco employee or whatever. I got to stop giving commercials for free. Figuring that out, though, what your true calling is, your destiny, what your true ministry is, and it's different for all of us, that's where the good stuff in life is at. I've had people prophesy over me, and I've had people tell me God would use me greatly one day. But that doesn't matter what it looks like, as long as I fulfill the calling God had for my life, and the same for you. David gives Solomon a blessing upon his destiny. And you know, if you follow your destiny, God's blessing will automatically be on it for you. In verse 20, David also said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord my God is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." And this applies to your destiny too. Did you know, as an old guy, kind of like David was, looking at young people, I want to tell them, "Look, I was a knucklehead, twice, nay, three times the knucklehead that you are. And look, God took me as I was, but didn't leave me as I was. He changed me. He worked with me. He walked gently with me. He shared the burden with me. When I was in over my head, God was underneath holding me up so that my mouth and my head could break the surface of the water. He helped me tread that water until finally I was able to swim." Because in ministry, often it's sink or swim. But you know what? When you cast all of your weight upon God, He will hold you up. What about you? Are you willing to cast and hang your entire destiny on the Lord God? David was. And in fact, he was willing to hang the entire destiny of his son Solomon on God as well. It's kind of nice when someone else does that for you and says, "You know what? You may not trust in God, but I see something in you. And I believe God is going to do for you what he did for me." Do you have someone like that in your life? If so, make yourself a promise today that you're going to be that person. Maybe your destiny, like me, is helping others fulfill their destiny. Well, it's been great being with you today as we've been in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We'll see you tomorrow in chapter 29 on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.